This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chimney Check. Well, we got a special one for you today. We got to speak about the big news around Ohio. CJ Stroud's declaring for the NFL draft. We got to talk about who's next, who's going to be taking the snaps at center. We also got to talk about our guy, one of our former teammates, getting an offensive coordinator position, Brian Hartline. So we got a big show for you today.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about the next quarterback you have. So I saw something out there. BetOnline put out a stat saying they put out the odds of the Heisman. Mm-hmm. And depending on who the next quarterback of Ohio State is going to be, they got Kyle McCord at 20-1 odds, Devin Brown at 66-1 odds, Marvin Harrison, Travion Henderson at 50-1 odds currently. So this is just for all you guys out there. BetOnline is your number one source for all sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro, college basketball, UFC, MMA, a bunch of other sports. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Yeah, so it seems that, you know.
Hold one second, man. One second. Before you get into it, Chum, before you get into it, for you people out there who may have issues with gambling, may have addictions with gambling, we all know addictions exist. We want to shout out the gambling hotline number for anyone who needs help. That number is 1-800-522-4700. One of our older listeners, it kind of reminded me, like, bring that up. Because some people do have issues. Obviously, gambling is something you want to do if you have the resources for it. Fun. But if you're having issues, there's people out there to help you out. But let's get into it, Chum. We got to talk about CJ Stroud. He announced, man, finally, at the deadline, he makes the announcement that he's going to go on to the NFL. Everyone was kind of anticipating if you know what's going on. But he made people wait to the last minute. And it kind of had people wondering what was he thinking.
It had people wondering, I think, early that morning. So I was loving it, first off. I'm going to be clear. I was loving the suspense. I was loving all the fans every day. Did CJ declare yet? Do you think he's staying? Oh, he might stay. He wants to get a pair of gold pants. He wants to have a chance to win the Heisman, maybe potentially win a national championship, fulfill his legacy at Ohio State. All the great things that players consider, and given the new – you know, the new format with NIL and the ability for him to not be hungry. Like, you want the money, but he has made a significant amount. Plus, he would have more opportunity next year. So he doesn't have the same level of hunger from a, you know, financial standpoint to say, I have to go and I have to go now. However, there was still the risk of not getting the $20 million when it's right there. Right, so
that number might be a little bit higher than 20, Chung. A little bit higher.
Right. It's a lot higher than 20. However, it starts at 20 for their first. You talking about signing bonus, $20+ million right when you sign, pretty much. That's hard to turn down for whatever the NIL was offering. It wasn't offering nowhere near that. That's a starting point. To me, it was a no-brainer, but, you know, there was that element of, you know, you want to be Michigan, want to do some of those things at Ohio State. You can't also delay the challenges and, you know, the business-like nature of the NFL for one more year and continue to be a kid, be in college. CJ also is a guy who played in a way that didn't lead to a lot of risk of injury, although every time you step on the football field as a football player, unless you're the kicker or the long snapper.
Man, they get hurt too, man.
Right, they get hurt too. They get hurt too, man. So, yeah. You know, it was a no-brainer. I guess, you know, kind of recapping CJ's career, he had an impressive one, right?
Very impressive.
What was his stats?
He only started for two years, two-year starter, 85 touchdowns. A completion percentage of 69.3. It makes him number two in Ohio State history, only behind Dwayne Haskins, who finished with a 70% completion rate. So, like, you know, outstanding numbers. Yeah. Over 8,000 passing yards. And, I mean, we're just talking about two seasons. I mean, the guy really lit it up at an elite level on the stats at Ohio State. And I feel like that showed in his play. And the one thing about CJ, even when he was a starter, became a starter last year, he always had a lot of criticism about his play. I remember early on when he first hit the field, it was kind of noise going around. Like, is he our guy? I mean, he'd throw for three touchdowns, and the question in the media would be like, is he our guy? Should we be giving the younger guys a shot behind him? Because, you know, CJ's good, but is he you know, is he that good? And I feel like he just kind of, he left it on the field. I mean, when you in pressures, you know, in his press conferences after games, always kind of quiet. You know, he always gave thanks to the Lord, which is a fantastic thing. The first thing always came out of his mouth, and he always kind of quiet. And he was quiet in the sense that he didn't give you a whole lot, but at the same time, he was always confident, really confident in his ability to play the quarterback position at an elite level. So, you know, for CJ and his career, for him to go on and now declare the NFL draft, he definitely left some big shoes to be filled, right?
Yeah, and the question remains, you know, what was CJ's legacy at Ohio State? Man, and this is why, you know, when we did the show after, you know, they lost to Georgia, I talked about, you know, a lot of different groups of people let CJ down in terms of that legacy. Because he had everything needed to get it done. And he performed. You go all the way back to the loss against Oregon, and everybody remembers it as a loss, where CJ threw an interception at the end, you know, trying to drive down the field to win the game, pretty much. But his game was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous game from a quarterback who was new, a new starting quarterback. He had not had much experience behind the center.
Playing, I think, against the second game, right? I think they played, they started the season on the road against Minnesota, then second game at home against Oregon.
A top 10 team. And the defense, oh my God, I went to that game. And I remember before the touchdowns happened for Oregon, I called him up. Oh, here's a formation they're lining up. They're going to crack the linebacker. They're going to run outside run. It's going to be a touchdown because his corner is not going to notice the crack, and he's going to cut off the entire defense. It's going to be a touchdown. It was one of the craziest defensive, sad defensive performances that I have seen. But fans, man, because of, you know, the 24-hour news cycle, the social media, and the way we talk about sports today, everything is put on the shoulders of the quarterback to make things happen, which is just the craziest thing.
Yeah.
With the defense.
I got to throw this out about offense, how people think about offense. The Chargers gave up a 27-point lead to the Jaguars, and they fired the offensive coordinator for the team. I just got to throw that out there. That's how much people think about offense and figure the offense should have done more. Like, you had a 27-point lead, but I'm sorry to cut you off, but I had to throw that out there.
Yeah, but to your point, though, the defense had three turnovers to lead to that 20. But the thing is, the legacy thing to me is in how he performed, right? Because he did enough. 125 QB rating. I think it was the highest QB rating of an Ohio State quarterback ever. You mentioned the stats and what he did on the field. If you do that at the quarterback position at Ohio State. Look at the quarterbacks at Ohio State. Go back to the 2002 when they won the national championship. It was Craig Krenzel. Compare what he did on the field versus what CJ did on the field. We have to give credit to where credit is due. And CJ had an amazing career at Ohio State. And the legacy continues, in my opinion, right? Because when he goes to the NFL, Ohio State fans are going to continue to watch him. And if he performs at the next level, they're going to continue to say, that's my quarterback. That's the guy that came out of Ohio State. Because the narrative right now is that Ohio State quarterbacks don't pan out in the NFL. So we've been clinging on to Joe Burrow. We've been clinging on to Joe Burrow as, you know, the guy out of Ohio State who never actually played really at Ohio State, right? Right. And, you know, he has somewhat, he's built some type of legacy at Ohio State, even though he, all the stuff that he did was at LSU and in the NFL, from a performance standpoint on the field during the game. So I think his legacy continues, and what he does in the NFL is going to be a reminder of, you know, what type of capable quarterback he was. And really the legacy, man, forget all that stuff, man. He showed what he can do.
Yeah,
he showed what he can do.
Right, and then I think another thing about CJ that, I mean, that's always, you know, that's very impressive when you start looking at it and evaluating the guy and what he did on the, you know, for the team. It's just how well and how much everyone in the organization, I'm not talking about outside, in the organization, loves CJ, man. They talk about how much of a leader he is. What he brought to the quarterback room and bringing in guys, and how, you know, he had broad shoulders. So if you wanted to throw it on somebody, you could throw it on CJ. He didn't, you know, he wasn't going to throw anybody under the bus. He wasn't going to throw the defense under the bus. He just took it all, and he just kind of went out there, played his game. When criticism was high, he played better. You know, we going into the Georgia game, we say CJ got to run the ball. What do? He go out there and essentially, you know, basically leads the team in rushing. Like, you know, he does. He's that kind of guy. Very special player. He definitely will be missed. Before CJ, now that, you know, he has officially declared now, we got to start, like you say, his legacy will continue in the NFL. Definitely, if he especially, you know, if he does well. I mean, obviously, we know Justin Fields, he kind of came on the second half of this season. He kind of started to show his talent and some of the things that he could do in the NFL. But there's not really, essentially, definitely not right now, no one quarterback that's, you know, at that elite level when you start talking about, you know, the top players in the league. Maybe Justin to get there, but obviously he's not there yet. So it's definitely hot hopes for CJ when he kind of goes on out there and to perform. So do you, in your opinion, do you think, obviously, it's a lot of talk about see 1-2, or then obviously, you know, once the draft, there's always going to be some other quarterback kind of pop in out of nowhere, and they're going to say he could throw the ball through a building and this and the third. He's the best guy at quarterback. Do you think he's the number one quarterback taken off the board, number one draft pick in the draft, or do you think he, you know, waits around and go mid first? I'm still saying he go first round. I'm not saying falling out, but do you think he go mid first round, or you think the team's kind of, you know, see that talent, appreciate it, and go get him?
Yeah. So I don't think he falls outside of the top 10. So I think Bryce Young will be the consensus overall number one quarterback in the draft. And depending on what the Bears do with that number one pick, I'm assuming that they trade back. I don't think they need a quarterback. I'm assuming that they trade back, and whoever ends up in that number one position takes Bryce Young. Now, I believe that CJ is the best quarterback in the draft. Now, that's because I look at everything through a cornerback lens, and what I feel most challenged with as a corner, and I see CJ as a guy who has the size, the accuracy, the arm strength, and the ability to identify where he needs to go with the ball and get it there. And as a defense, you know that you're giving something up. You know you can't cover everything. And a guy who can identify that, where, you know, where that is, and get the ball there, is a guy that you can't really stop. Bryce Young, I think it's close, but to me, I think CJ is a more accurate passer down the field than Bryce Young. I think they have they're a little bit different. I think Bryce Young is a better moving around, being able to, you know, continue to buy time and get the ball. I think he's also an accurate passer. I think Bryce Young goes first, CJ goes second. I don't know what the teams are. I know there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. You got the Texans at 2,
right,
which is where CJ could potentially end up. You got the Colts at 4, which if he's there, they'll take him, I believe. And then you have the Raiders at 7, the Falcons at 8, the Panthers at 9, right? So I don't think he falls outside the top 10. I do think he ends up being the second quarterback taken. But I do think he impresses in those. You know how they start showing these videos of quarterbacks throwing the ball around.
Right.
And these scouts are humans, right? They start seeing and they're like, oh, wow. Like, as if they didn't watch him play football in real games. You start seeing a guy throw the ball around. It was Zach Wilson, other quarterbacks. And you're like, oh, man, this guy's impressive. He could just get it all together. So I think he solidified himself as the second quarterback. One thing I want to mention, though, no matter who you are, what school you are, how good you were in college, at the quarterback position, you have to get better in the NFL. Like, you maybe initially you can be the same guy, but defenses adjust quickly in the NFL to what you do. And once one defense figures you out and it's on film, every defense now has you figured out. So you look at guys like Baker Mayfield, who had a good year, right?
Yeah.
After he had a good year, you have to get better.
Yeah, you're right.
If you don't get better, it's not. This guy was good, so he's going to be good the next year. No, he won't. You saw Colin Kaepernick kind of take the lead by storm, and then at some point defense caught up. You have to improve as a quarterback. From year one, you got to take a jump to year two. Year two, you got to take another jump to year three. And you got to settle around, like, yeah, year three, where you take that next, like, jump, where you kind of get it, you got to figure you get your stride.
Right. I mean, they got a name for it. They call it, like, the sophomore slump, right? That's, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are the top guy coming out of college. They you know, they have great careers. They get drafted early. And then some out there go out there and play actually, you know, pretty well. And then they call it, like, the sophomore slump. And basically in the offseason, you got these defensive coordinators who are paid a lot of money to do their job and really good at doing it. They study you and they say, okay, he could do these things. He can't do these things. So when we play him, we're going to take away the things that he could do and make him do the other thing. And then once he shows he can't do it, then he can't improve. So for that quarterback, you know, I mean, I say this often, you know, success brings, you know, blindness, essentially. You know, if you have success as an athlete, as a player, especially when you're talking about, you know, you coming from a big school, a lot of times, you know, when people start, someone says you can't do something, like, you, your confidence kind of just brushes it away. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. I can't. You know, I just lit these guys up in college. I'm in NFL. I lit these guys up as well. I had a good, you know, a decent rookie year. You know, usually, you know, you might play well. You didn't win all these games, but you say, I still, my stats show I did pretty good. And you stop focusing on yourself, like you say. So my hopes for CJ is that he goes to a team where either, you know, wherever he get drafted early, but they have either some type of veteran experience at quarterback or players there that they could kind of play right away so CJ could just kind of learn and kind of get some experience. For myself personally, I remember when Dwayne Haskins was with the Washington Commanders and before they decided to move on from him at the quarterback position once Coach Rivera came in, you know, just kind of start building this narrative around Haskins that, you know, he's basically the last person in the building for practice. And then once practice and the day is done, he's the first person out the door. And obviously you don't really want to hear that about your quarterback. But I just recall over Haskins' career, you know, coming out of Ohio State, once again, fantastic numbers, did great things at Ohio State and was a really good quarterback. And, you know, God rest his soul. But, you know, I remember just him being, you know, all these things. And then once he got to the NFL, you know, they kind of start building this narrative around, you know, who he was as a player. And I always kind of just go back. It's like, you know, when you're a player, you're when you're in it, right? You're in it. You're it's your job now to be a professional athlete. You know, what type of experience do you have around you? You know, it's easy to say that, oh, you're the quarterback. You should be watching extra film. But who's there to really teach you or show you what extra film looks like? You know, if you're a position coach, you have, you know, meeting time beforehand, before practice, getting ready for the day. You have a small window for meeting time after practice. And maybe the coach could kind of suggest a couple of things you could kind of look at on your own. But, you know, it's really tough to do when you're, you know, you just don't have that veteran experience there and the veteran there to kind of show you, like, okay, this is what I'm looking at and this is why I'm looking at it. You know, I'm looking at this, you know, on third down package again because I'm trying to see, you know, where the windows are, or if I could want to throw a back shoulder fade to a receiver, what's the best cornerback to kind of to attack this with? You know, if you don't have that person near, it sometimes get lost. And then all you just say is, oh, he went to the NFL and he was a bust. The owner is looking at his investment, right? You know, he's guaranteeing, once again, that $20 million. So he want to see that investment go on the field and perform well. And if you're not performing well, you know, at least we'll know when you get your $20 million, you're out of there. But for me, you know, for him to have that great career that I know he could have, I would love to see him go somewhere like, I don't know. You know, obviously, we're talking about teams that needs quarterbacks. So, I don't know. You start talking about the Carolina Panthers, right? You got what's the guy's name? Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold been in the NFL now for, what, 4 or 5 years. Obviously, he has some ups, mostly downs, right? You know, because they're still looking to fill that quarterback position. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, at least knows the process, right? You know, he's a guy that's there. Or you have some veteran there, maybe a guy that's a known backup, but he's around your quarterback, and he gets kind of show like, look, this is what I'm looking at. You know, when I come in early to watch film, these are the things I'm trying to see. When I'm staying late or if I'm taking a cut up home on the iPad, these are the things I'm watching, and this is why. And I just want to hope that CJ kind of gets in that position to me. It just helps out a ton. Obviously, there are a few guys that get it right away, but the NFL, the college, you know, is not more of a physical thing from that jump. It's a mental thing. And knowing the game and football, and once again, being able to kind of look at yourself, improve, and then kind of take that to kind of make yourself better from there. But like I say, we know this, shout out to CJ. You know, obviously high hopes for him and his NFL career. I believe he'll do great things. I don't agree, Chip. I think he's the first quarterback taken off the board. With that special passing ability, the way some of the ball placements that he has made throughout his career, I just think it's very rare. I feel that teams will study it. They will see that Bryce is a good player. And I feel like someone would make that move for that number one pick. And when they make that move, they would take C.J. Stroud there. But we wanted to kind of get into who's next, right? We spoke about it briefly last show between Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, who's been with the program now. But I know we kind of, like I said, we spoke about it briefly, but we want to kind of get into a little bit more because Chim is in love. I'm going to throw you under the bus. Chim is in love with Devin Brown and just had a lot to say about him and what he could bring to the Ohio State offense as a player.
Chill, man, chill. Man. the new quarterback is always tough. A lot of times, even the coaches can't determine who wins a quarterback battle. You have guys like, I think it was, what was it, Michigan, where they go into the season, we're going to play both of these quarterbacks. It's like, man, you got all offseason to pick a quarterback, and now you need to use the season to determine who the quarterback is. So, obviously, it's kind of way too early to identify who that guy is, especially from someone who's not at every practice and watching every film session and understanding how these guys think, how they take in information and all that other stuff. So, from the limited stuff I've seen, I do favor Devin Brown a little bit over Kyle McCord. Kyle McCord has a little bit more experience. He's going to be a little bit ahead from, I think, just from the mental side of it. But from the quick decision-making, even going back to just watching high school highlights and, you know, what they were able to do at that level, I like Devin Brown's quick kind of ability to determine where to go with the ball, who am I going with? It may be predetermined, but get the ball out quick or decide to, you know, take 5 yards and run in quick. I just like his quick decision-making. And I look at everything from a DB lens. DB lens, I understand, you know, what the defense is trying to stop, you know, what they're giving up, and the ability for a quarterback to make a quick decision, know he wants to go with the ball, take those yards, to me, is an effective way to continue to move the ball, especially as a young quarterback who's going to continue to grow and understand how he can improve on that over time. However, it's still way too early. Obviously, you have the Kyle McCord, Marvin Harrison connection from high school. Right. You know, they made some noise in high school. What was it?
They made some noise. So, yeah, so I'm just looking this stuff up now. Like, I'm not studying high school film, but from what I understand, Kyle McCord and Marvin Harrison Jr., who we know is the guy at Ohio State, you know, they played three seasons. No, they won three state titles together in on the high school level. And I say that, you know, they won three high school titles together. I mean, essentially, you know, they put the work in with each other, right, to get themselves to Ohio State. And I'm sure, I believe McCord is maybe a year older or, you know, I'm sure, you know, some type of conversation went into that. Like, hey, like I'm going to Ohio State. You got the offer as well. You know, let's continue, you know, our connection on the next level. So when you start thinking, like you say, you think of things of the defensive back lens, right? And I'm thinking of things as an offensive lineman. And a lot of times as your quarterback, you know, you want the leader. Like, you want the guy that's going to go out there and, first of all, know what's going on, you know, could really speak to what we're doing as an offense, you know, who's essentially a general. He get into there, he brushes confidence into him calling the plays in and out the huddle or at the line of scrimmage. I know a lot of call, you know, who has a good grasp of exactly, you know, what are we doing. And essentially, I know personally, you know, as offensive lineman, to be honest, you know, when you're playing, you're not really evaluating guys on, you know, missed throws or, you know, or things of that nature. You're evaluating yourself. Like, hey, if I block better, you know, he'll throw the ball better, you know, type of deal. That's using the mindset of offensive lineman. Do your job to your best ability, and it'll work out from there. So you got to think about Kyle. Like I said, once again, he has the experience. He has a great connection with what will be most likely our best player returning, right, in Marvin Harrison Jr. Yep. You just kind of have to think that, you know, there's a chance, you know, push gonna shove, that may, you know, be the tipping scale. If everything is, you know, 50-50 experience, connection with our best player already being there, you know, that might, you know, kind of push things in one direction or the other. But we do have to bring up, you know, I don't know how many quarterbacks total got scholarships, but we have to speak about Lincoln, right? Lincoln is the true freshman that we just signed in this year's recruiting class. And then also, I'm not going to call it big news, but it is news around for the Buckeyes that we just signed a transfer out of the portal. I have his name is Tristan. I'm going to butcher his last name. I'm sorry, man. Tristan Gibbia. He's coming in from, I'm going to say a fake OSU from Oregon State University, coming in. He has, I'm going to say, experience. You know, I kind of did a quick little very search. Experience, right? I think this will be like his seventh year of college football. He's 24 years old now. Before the season hits, he'll be 25. So I'm thinking, Jim, like, this might be our Stinson Bennett, man. This might be our guy. This might be our Bennett. You know, if it pushed to shove, we throw this guy out there. You know, it's like a grown man playing amongst kids. And, you know, he lead us to that national championship. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This, you know, we have to see. But, you know, he definitely has the experience for it.
There's something to the age thing. Stinson Bennett, or you perform well. I think Hendon Hooker was like 24. I think their backup was kind of old too. I mean, you go with the old quarterback, you know, and what a situation in college football now. I mean, you stay in college for 6-7 years, you know, get some NIL money, you make a career out of it. So now, but yeah, some more depth to the QB room, a veteran presence with a lot of young guys could potentially help them develop as well. I'm sure there was some reasoning to bringing him in. And who knows? You know, he may have some talent there too. Another adding competition never hurts.
Once again, this is Believe in Buckeyes. We are sponsored by Bet Online. Once again, check them out for all your bets when it comes to the NFL playoffs and USC and anything else. You want news, you want information, go get it from them before you place your bets. But this is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chimdi Chikwa. And we will catch you guys next
time. Just for all you guys out there, Bet Online is your number one source for all sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro, college basketball, UFC, MMA, a bunch of other sports. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. Use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV. To receive your reward, with live betting options, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, Bet Online is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events.
This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chimdi Chikwa, and I just want to hope that CJ kind of gets in that position. To me, it just helps out a ton. Obviously, there are a few guys that get it right away, but the NFL, the college, you know, it's not more of a physical thing from that jump. It's a mental thing, and knowing the game and football, and once again, being able to kind of look at yourself, improve, and then kind of take that to kind of make yourself better from there. But like I say, we know this. Shout out to CJ. You know, obviously, high hopes for him and his NFL career. I believe he'll do great things. I don't agree, Chip. I think he's the first quarterback taken off the board. With that special passing ability, the way some of the ball placements that he has made throughout his career, I just think it's very rare. I feel that teams will study it. They will see that Bryce is a good player. And I feel like someone would make that move for that number one pick. And when they make that move, they would take C.J. Stroud there. But we wanted to kind of get into who's next, right? We spoke about it briefly last show between Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, who's been with the program now. But I know we kind of, like I said, we spoke about it briefly, but we want to kind of get into a little bit more because Chim is in love. I'm going to throw you under the bus. Chim is in love with Devin Brown and just had a lot to say about him and what he could bring to the Ohio State offense as a player.
Chill, man, chill. the new quarterback is always tough. A lot of times, even the coaches can't determine who wins a quarterback battle. You have guys like, I think it was Michigan, where they go into the season, we're going to play both of these quarterbacks. It's like, man, you had all season to pick a quarterback, and now you need to use the season to determine who the quarterback is. So, obviously, it's kind of way too early to identify who that guy is, especially from someone who's not at every practice and watching every film session and understanding how these guys think, how they take in information and all that other stuff. So from the limited stuff I've seen, I do favor Devin Brown a little bit over Kyle McCord. Kyle McCord has a little bit more experience. He's going to be a little bit ahead from, I think, just from the mental side of it. But from the quick decision making, even going back to just watching high school highlights and what they were able to do at that level, I like Devin Brown's quick kind of ability to determine where to go with the ball, who am I going with. It may be predetermined, but get the ball out quick or decide to take 5 yards and run in quick. I just like his quick decision making, and I look at everything from a DB lens. DB lens, I understand, what the defense is trying to stop, what they're giving up, and the ability for a quarterback to make a quick decision, know he wants to go with the ball, take those yards, to me, is an effective way to continue to move the ball, especially as a young quarterback who's going to continue to grow and understand how he can improve on that over time. However, it's still way too early. Obviously, you have the Kyle McCord, Marvin Harrison connection. Right, high school. Right. They made some noise in high school.
They made some noise. I'm just looking this stuff up now. Like, I'm not I'm not studying high school film, but from what I understand, Kyle McCord and Marvin Harrison Jr., who we know is the guy at Ohio State. They played three seasons. They won three state titles together. On the high school level. And I say that, they won three high school titles together. I mean, essentially, they put the work in with each other, right, to get themselves to Ohio State. And I'm sure, I believe McCord is maybe a year older, or, I'm sure, some type of conversation went into that. Like, hey, I'm going to Ohio State. You got the offer as well. Let's continue, our connection on the next level. So when you start again, like you said, you think of things of the defensive back lens, right? And I'm thinking of things as an offensive lineman. And a lot of times as your quarterback, you want the leader. Like, you want the guy that's going to go out there and, first of all, know what's going on, could really speak to what we're doing as an offense, who's essentially a general. He get into there, he brushes confidence into him calling the plays, in and out the huddle or at the line of scrimmage. I know a lot call it, who has a good grasp of exactly, what are we doing? And essentially, I know personally, as an offensive lineman, to be honest, when you're playing, you're not really evaluating guys on, missed throws or things of that nature. You're evaluating yourself. Like, hey, if I block better, he'll throw the ball better, type of deal. That's usually the mindset of an offensive lineman. Do your job to your best ability, and it'll work out from there. So you got to think about Kyle. Like I said, once again, he has the experience. He has a great connection with what will be most likely our best player returning, right, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Yep. And You just kind of have to think that, you know, there's a chance, you know, push come to shove, that may, you know, be the tipping scale. If everything is, you know, 50-50 experience, connection with our best player already being there, you know, that might, you know, kind of push things in one direction or the other. But we do have to bring up, you know, obviously it's, I don't know how many quarterbacks total got scholarships, but we have to speak about Lincoln, right? Lincoln is the true freshman that we just signed in this year's recruiting class. And then also, I'm not going to call it big news, but it is news around for the Buckeyes that we just signed a transfer out of the portal. I have his name is Tristan. I'm going to butcher his last name. I'm sorry, man. Tristan Gibbia. He's coming in from, I'm going to say a fake OSU from Oregon State University, coming in. He has, I'm going to say experience, you know, I kind of did a quick little search. Experience, right? I think this will be like his seventh year college football. He's 24 years old now. Before the season hits, he'll be 25. So I'm thinking, Jim, like, this might be our Stinson Bennett, man. This might be our guy. This might be our Bennett. You know, I mean, push come to shove, we throw this guy out there. You know, it's like it's a grown man playing amongst kids. And, you know, he lead us to that national championship. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This, you know, we have to see. But, you know, he definitely has the experience for it.
There's something to the age thing. Stinson Bennett, or you perform well. I think Hendon Hooker was like 24. I think their backup was kind of old too. I mean, you go with the old quarterback, you know. And what a situation in college football now. I mean, you stay in college for 6-7 years, you know, get some NIL money, you make a career out of it. So now, but yeah, some more depth to the QB room, some a veteran presence with a lot of young guys could potentially help them develop as well. I'm sure there was some reasoning to bringing him in. And who knows? You know, he may have some talent there too. Another adding competition never hurts. You know, and, you know, with the new quarterbacks, we also have a new offensive coordinator who is actually, you know, being up, you know, being promoted from within. And our former teammate, right? Our former captain, Brian Hartline. So shout out to Brian Hartline. What does this mean for the program, getting Hartline put in this position?
Yeah, so I think it means a lot. I mean, obviously this year, I mean, before this year, I really didn't hear a lot of rumors about Hartline possibly leaving the program. But we know this year it hit kind of big, right? That, you know, once Coach Fickell had made the decision to go on to Wisconsin, you know, it became a huge rumor that, you know, Hartline is interviewing for this position and he's getting it. Like, basically, that's how the rumor was coming out. Like, Hartline is getting the head coaching job at Cincinnati. He's going to Cincinnati. And then, you know, that kind of died down. I think he kind of put it to rest. But at the same time, we know how, you know, well Hartline has been doing. I believe, you know, he doesn't have the traditional college experience. You know, usually for coaches, if you don't know, you kind of start in as a GA, a graduate assistant, and somebody's program, and then you just hit the road. Like, you're here for a couple of years, you maybe go to the NFL for a couple of years, you come back down to college, and you just kind of bounce around until you kind of just, you know, you get your notoriety up, and you just kind of land that job that kind of, that you feel good about, and you can kind of settle down with your family. But Brian Hartline, obviously, Ohio State great. Did great things at Ohio State, was able to have a very successful year in the career in the NFL, a lot of years with the Miami Dolphins down there. And then afterwards, you know, he kind of came to Columbus and seemed like he wanted to get into coaching, kind of start hanging around the program. They gave him a little role. Obviously, he did well. He excelled at it. And then from there, they give him we have a change in coaches. Someone leaves the position. They put him in that room as the head wide receiver coach. And obviously, we know what type of talent, you know, he's been bringing in. I think, you know, there's no, you know, a lot of times there's a debate, you know, so a lot of times we debate successful things, right? We debate, is Ryan Day the guy? We debate, is CJ Stroud the guy? And we're like, these guys are having a lot of success. No one is debating about the success that Brian Hartline has had at, for one, bringing in top-tier talent. Number two, developing that talent and sending guys on to the NFL and watching them excels there as well. So, obviously, we're really happy for Hartline. And we know it's huge to kind of keep him in Columbus. I know, you know, like I say, his family's here, obviously, with him. And I feel that, you know, a move like this could keep him here even for a lot of years to come. You know, he don't have to do that carousel of bouncing around. He could just, you know, use all that wisdom, talent, keep him right here, and we could kind of grow from there. But I guess with that, like I said, it's because he didn't do that bouncing around that we know most college coaches do, or professional coaches do in general. Do you think that, you know, he would have the experience to kind of come in, lead this top-tier program to where every year, as we know, it's national championship or bust under Coach Day? We know there's a lot of points being scored where it's a problem. Do you think Heartline would have that experience to kind of go out and continue to excel the offense of Ohio State?
Yeah, I think he's built for it. I think he's ready to go. I don't think the traditional experience is necessary. I don't think he needs to spend 3-4 years at Bowling Green and then 2 years at name your school in the MAC or whatever, and you know, I don't think he needs to go through that same progression. I think, you know, being at the head coach is Ryan Day. The guy who's calling the plays is Ryan Day. The guy who commands this offense is Ryan Day. And Ryan Day put Heartline in the position to take the offensive coordinator job. I feel very confident that even if Heartline was kind of coming up short and, you know, what he was doing offensively, because he was still getting acclimated to the position, still trying to continue to grow into that role, I feel confident that Ryan Day could pick up a little bit of the slack and continue to help him transition. And just, I guess I'd have a little bit of a different perspective if I didn't know Heartline to an extent. But I think knowing him, understanding what type of player he was, understanding his attention to detail as a player, just going against him in practice, right? You know, I feel very comfortable and confident with the decision on the offense. Big ups to Brian Heartline for getting it and for being on the fast track to getting it, right? But I think this is a different era in that, you know, if you lose Brian Heartline, you potentially lose players too. You know what I'm saying? So if other schools are considering him for head coach and you're not ready for him to be an offensive coordinator, well, you need to get him ready to be offensive coordinator, because you got to promote him. Otherwise, you can lose him to another school. And that's reality, because if you lose him, you could lose 5-star talent to that school as well. You saw Marcus Freeman get hired at Notre Dame. I could only imagine that losing Marcus Freeman as a defensive coordinator to another school like Ohio State potentially could lead to you losing players as well. So I think that's part of it as well. But yeah, I think he's ready. And if he's not, I think he will be. So that's how I feel about it. And then he has some help now. You know, there's a lot of talent on that offense, right? So it's not just putting Heartline in a position to just have to rebuild or do anything. There's some consistency. There's a lot of depth at the running back room as well, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, we got all our running backs are either the ones, you know, all our running backs are back. You know, if they was eligible to leave, they decided to come back. When speaking of Mayan Williams, he decided to come back for another year at Ohio State. Obviously, Trayvon Henderson, this was just his second season. So, he obviously is his third season coming up in the running back room. And also, we know the great things that Hayden did, you know, in his couple games that he played. You know, he shows that he's definitely a capable running back and he runs the ball the right way. And then also coming off an injury, we have Pryor to injury, tore ACL in training camp, and he missed the season as well. And also another explosive guy, very capable. I feel that this year they may be moving. If it's someone you could kind of bounce around, it's Pryor. You could kind of maybe put him up in slots and throw him some bubbles and wide receiver screens and things of that nature. But when it comes down to it, he needs to be on the field. He's definitely good enough, and we had to get him the ball as well. So my only challenge for Heartline is that, you know, when looking at this team returning, I feel that we our best depth, our best position in returning guys is that running back. So, you know, just run the ball. You know, I would say, you know, give those guys their touches. And with those guys being very capable, it will help the offense and help the team. You know, when we start talking about obviously we're going to have whoever plays quarterback, going to be the first year starting that quarterback at Ohio State, whoever that person is. And this will help him in a lot of ways. If we could run the ball, prove that you could run the ball, know that you could run the ball, and teams have to respect it. It would definitely help that quarterback in his development, help him in his play, and he don't have to feel like you know, everything is on his shoulders when stepping out there. You know, he knows he definitely had capable guys around that we could get the ball to, and they could just do their thing, and they're, you know, they're able to score points as well, and definitely bring a lot to the table. So another thing, the biggest thing I just want to bring up is Heartline is the offensive coordinator. Sometimes you see this in college football. You rarely see it in the NFL, but some college coaches kind of got into this thing where they call QB sneak out of the shotgun. I hate it. I don't like it. You're making a very simple play a lot more difficult. You know, so just make sure install when spring ball hits. Only thing I want to know is that when you run QB sneak, which every offense, good offense should have, a great QB sneak package, that you call it from under center so your O-line could get some space, and you can always get that third and one, that fourth and one, a very simple bread and butter play. You call it under center just because of physics, almost, essentially. You call it under center because of physics. You get those first down, and you keep your offense out there. So that's the only thing I got to just say that I want to see. We run the ball. We call QB sneaks under center where they need to be called.
So. I don't know, man. There's something to a shotgun quarterback run. Oh, just hear me out, though. There's something to – because if you go shotgun – and you got the back in the backfield. That back can be a lead blocker for you. So you gain an extra blocker. And you can run like – it's not necessarily a QB sneak now. It's like power. Or it's a run play.
Yeah, it's right? risky. It's risky. Yeah. Instead of – you know, we need a yard. And so instead of pinning quarterback in the ball as closest to that yard as possible that we need, you pin them 5 yards in the backfield, more space. More chance for penetration. Things just get riskier, and you're taking a little bit of punch off your offensive line. Just let them put all their weight. They look like it won't. In QB sneak, your offensive line should look like defensive linemen. I mean, there's blood in your knuckles, kind of down there, ready to go, and you explode forward, hit somebody, leave your feet if you want to, go forward, create some space, and you get the first down. So, all that shotgun stuff, like I said, it's pretty, it's cute. The defense got the with it. It's risky. So, yeah, just do the simple thing. And then on first and 10, then you want to get back to being risky and taking shots. You know, do your thing, but get the first down first. So,
I heard you say next year we got depth at the running back position. They need to run the ball. You just promoted Brian Hartline, who was a receiver, who was also – the passing game coordinator this past season, and will now be the offensive coordinator. They're gonna throw that ball. They are going to throw that ball around. It's going to be a pass heavy offense. But yeah, again, shout out to Brian Hartline.
Once again, this is Believe in Buckeyes. We are sponsored by Bet Online. Once again, check them out for all your bets when it comes to the NFL playoffs. And USC and anything else. You want news, you want information, go get it from them before you place your bets. But this is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chimdi Chikwa, and we will catch you guys next time.